There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Ravanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Ravanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown Podcast with Johnny, Dana and Tom. We're the Borough Podcast that gives you all of your Borough matchday chatter in a podcast. And look, you know what I'm going to say. Borough have beaten Chelsea 1-0, courtesy of a Hayden Hackney goal, giving Borough all the advantage in the Carabao Cup semi-final. First thing, I'm going into Stamford Bridge in a couple of weeks' time, guys. We were all there. We all went the chip fan together. We were all getting interviewed on Five Live. Get the chip fan in first. But how are we feeling? Because I think I've just came down a little bit from the win last night. Dana, how are you feeling about Borough beating Chelsea at the Riverside last night?
Fucking hell. How do you even sum up that game and the emotions that... I mean, I am not the same person that I was before kickoff yesterday. I could tell you that for much. I feel hungover today. I must admit, I feel hungover. And I had a little bit of gin yesterday before I left, just to take the edge off a little bit. Did it work? No. I was shitting myself as soon as it started to, as soon as the game started. But yeah, I feel physically and mentally exhausted after that. I don't think I've spent that much energy and emotion on a football match. I mean, it was just... incredible, really. I am immeasurably proud of Borough because, you know, we had two players go off within the first 20 minutes. Latilath went down within the first 37 seconds, was it? Something ridiculous like that. Like, we're massively up against it anyway, played against Chelsea. And then to have 14 injuries after Alex Bangura went off, massively stretched squad. And, I mean, the mental effort that... you know, the players put in to make sure that they got over the line was incredible. The concentration of knowing when to press, when to cover, when to man mark, when to defend, when to boot the ball up like Johnny Howson did a couple of times. Oh, God, it was incredible. And I said before the game, I would give anything for Borough to beat Chelsea tonight because they were the only top six Premier League side that I had never seen Borough beat because we were actually on a 9-game losing streak against them in which we hadn't recorded a single goal. Now we can say that we not only scored against Chelsea, but we beat them as well. And yeah, just an unbelievable night that will live long in the memory.
Tom, how are you feeling? I mean, you've got the Spanish Carlin in hand and the Madri, so you look like you're happy.
Yeah. I mean, can't complain today. Everything's good. I was the same as Dana. Actually, I'd never seen Borough beat Chelsea in person. The first season ticket I got was a half season ticket, and the second half of the season, the last time we beat them. So I'd already missed that game, and then just never saw us beat them again. I said that on Five Live before the game as well. I said, or just before we kind of went live, just said, I've never seen us beat Chelsea in person. And that's one ticked off the bucket list. But I've also never seen us beat Chelsea twice. and, you know, seeing the second one on TV. So that would be great to see and tick off the bucket list as well. But, no, I mean, that was some atmosphere last night. It was great to be a part of. I'm really glad that I went. You know, I had to pick one out of Villa and Chelsea to go to. I think I picked the right one there. And, yeah, I mean, it was possibly the longest 90 minutes of my life because... As kind of good footballers as Chelsea are, I mean, just having all the possession, the fitness levels from them were incredible to be pressing us the way that they were. But we defended so well, and weirdly, for us, all the possession that they had, other than the chances we gave them, they didn't ever look like scoring. But I didn't want to kind of think that during the game because I'm like, I'm going to jinx it here, but... Yeah, just what a game to be sitting and watching last night, buzzing with the result, and then it gives us a little bit of hope and gives us something to take into the second leg as well.
Yeah, absolutely does. And for me, yeah, I think I've just came down from it. I think I know it's been a busy day for me anyway, but just emotionally drained. The second half, I couldn't watch most of it. As the pressure was starting to crank up even more, Chelsea were missing chances or not creating too much. But when a team pins another team on their own box, really, it can be a difficult watch for anyone. So, yeah, that was really stressful. But the elation of Hackney scoring and the whole build, I was just excited throughout the day, to be honest. I wasn't bothered about I wouldn't say not bothered about the game, but I was just like happy and content that, you know what, we're in the semi-final, I'm just going to enjoy it. Whatever, we win, we don't. And yeah, now that we've won, it's just like brilliant. Can we maybe do it again at Stamford Bridge in a couple of weeks? But yeah, we'll soon see. But obviously, dead chuffed and just emotionally exhausted. I think like pretty much every poor fan is. But let's chat about the game because we did have four changes going into the game. And obviously, against the side that lost against Aston Villa, two players got injured straight away, and Latin Elaf and Alex Banguru, which we still don't know much about. And Dana, appreciate those players went off. You know, Matt Clark came in and did superbly well. But how would you assess Middlesbrough's overall performance yesterday? Because it was something a little bit different from what we've been used to, especially the last couple of games.
Yeah, it was. And I think Carrick deserves immense credit, really, for the way that he's set up because, okay, maybe to a degree it's fallen in his favour a little bit given injuries, but also let's give him credit because, you know, that hybrid of a back three and a back five and at times a back four, it's really blocked off the space. And I think we did that really well yesterday. Chelsea didn't look like they wanted to even find an answer, to be honest. They were incredibly poor. But at the same time, Borough were excellent. They're really efficient defensively. Again, that mental test for them, probably more than physically, actually, because when you don't have the ball for that long, as we did in pretty much the whole of the second half, to be honest, and for the majority of the game, actually, it's going to test you and it's going to test basically when you press because Borough sat back a lot. And I think that was a really good game plan just to be able to, as I said, block off the space. And you mentioned it on BBC Five Live before the game to make sure that you control the centre of the pitch and not let them dominate that middle part and to force them out wide. And we did that so well. And I think credit has to be to the players for adapting because obviously when Banguru went off, Engel moved into that position and he did really well. And Matt Clark came on and he was fantastic. You know, he got his head to pretty much everything in that second half. There were a few moments in the first half where he was caught ball watching a little bit, but he really grew into that game. And Dale Fry was immense. He was unbelievable in that match. Physically dominant, really just took command of that game. And yeah, to a man, they were all absolutely excellent. You know, I can't fault any of them, to be honest. I was so proud. You know, there was multiple moments in that game where I wanted to go on that pitch and just help them and, you know, boot the ball out for them because we all saw it. We all saw the massive effort that they put in to getting that result over the line. And I'm so proud of every single one of those players. I'm going to cry in a minute, I think. I've become a massive softie over the years with football, but that just made me so unbelievably proud because we have a shocking record against Chelsea. They've done a number on us on a number of occasions and it's great to be able to say that we did a number on them yesterday.
Tom? How would you assess it?
Like I said earlier, just the longest 90 minutes of my life watching that. I think especially after we scored, because I'm just like, I really want to see us hold on to it. I couldn't, and I still haven't researched this, I couldn't figure out in my head if away goals apply in the Carabao Cup semi-finals. So as well, I'm sat there thinking, God, I hope they don't get one and like take that back to Stamford Bridge and win it that way. But yeah, it was such a good defensive effort from the players. One thing I did note, which, you know, I've been listening to Chelsea fan reaction videos in the background at work this afternoon just to put a smile on my face. But something I did note that they've kind of pretty much all been talking about as well is they started without a recognised striker and then had Sterling and, was it Madueke? I don't really watch too much of the Premier League, so I've not seen too much of him this season. But they had those running at our those guys running at our wing backs and putting crosses into nobody. And that's why I was saying earlier, other than the chances that we gifted them, they just never really looked that threatening. Because, you know, what's going to happen? Like, cross going to come in and, you know, 4 foot Raheem Sterling out jumps Matt Clark or something like that. Like. Again, I didn't want to kind of jinx it during the match, but I was sat there thinking they're not doing anything when they go forward. They have a lot of the ball here and they're passing it around really well. But in hindsight, after the match, I was like, the best chances that they had, we gave them. So it was such a solid performance from us. And, you know, going into the game, I was the same as you, Johnny. Like, I was kind of like really, really calm for it. I've never seen us, like I said earlier, never seen us beat Chelsea in person. So I was just like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. I'm not really expecting anything. But to come out of that with a win was just absolutely unbelievable. And as Dana said, to a man, everyone played their part and was absolutely phenomenal last night. Hopefully we can do the same thing in a couple of weeks' time. I don't know if we will, but I feel like I'm kind of half expecting a bad result like on Saturday against Millwall now, just because everyone's that mentally exhausted from the effort they put in last night.
Well, I want to take you back a little bit, Tom. Just, I know, just to keep the emotion still led. Just give me the last bit of emotion that you've got. But the Hayden Hackney goal, Dan Ballas is playing an absolute worldie of ball over the top. And, you know, Isaiah Jones gets the ball. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, I thought he was going to lose it. But he plays it through Culver's legs. And then Hayden Hackney just slots it home. So talk to me, when that goal goes in, I bet you could not believe your eyes when that went in.
No, it was absolute saints. Like, I mean, I'm down the other end of the stadium from it. So it was a hard enough job trying to, like, get a sight of the ball and where that had gone. But you see the south stand jump up first and you're just like, oh my God, that's gone in. We were all jumping around all over the place. There was a guy sat next to me who doesn't sit in our section usually, has clearly just bought a ticket for this one match, and he was filming everything for like his, I think it was for TikTok or something like that. I filmed absolutely everything. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on his TikTok and I'm just screaming down the camera. Just jumping around all over each other. But it was just so reminiscent of like what we had at like Man United away, what other people had at Spurs at home. I was in hospitality for that one, so it was more of a reserve celebration from me that night. But yeah, it just kind of, it was very reminiscent of those. And I think one thing I was thinking going into it was, as calm as I was, I thought, in the last couple of years, I've seen us beat Man United away, I've seen us beat Spurs at home, we can do this. Like, why can't we do it? And yeah, such a good feeling for that goal to be going in. But then, like I say, as soon as that went in, they were back in possession. And I'm just like, right, just hold on to it. And then the nerves start again.
Yeah, and obviously the nerves do like filter across the whole stadium. But I thought the atmosphere last night was electric. And obviously Dana, when Hackney scored, right, the if there was a roof on the Riverside, it probably would have went off, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was transcendental and then some. I mean, Jesus Christ. when the East Stand goes nuts, you know something good's happened. And I took a quick glance over to the South Stand and those limbs were insane, like insane. And you know what? After Hackney scored, I thought, even if Chelsea go on to win this game, at least we can say that we had that moment and they can never, ever take that away from us, because we've had games in the past, big games, where the crowd's been expectant of that outpouring of raw emotion, a goal to celebrate, you know, the playoff final of 2015 last season, the playoff semis against Coventry. I remember writing after that game about the absence of that. And so the fact that we had that moment to keep us for literally the rest of our lives is just brilliant. And the fact that it counted towards what was a win in the end is so special. That spontaneous crescendo of raw euphoria is just an incredible feeling. It's so very football. I don't think anything else comes close to that level. And it's not just an individual feeling. It is shared by thousands of people at the very same time. And yeah, to hit it on that note of genuine ecstasy is a high that I don't think anything else can give you, to be honest. And the fact that it was Hayden Hackney as well, local boy turned local hero. I mean, what a week he's had, by the way, captaining his boyhood club for the first time against Villa and then scoring the decisive goal against Chelsea in a League Cup semi-final. I honestly, in that moment, I think I lost it. I don't even have the words anymore. I think my vocabulary is just gone out the window, because I can't really describe how that felt. I can only describe, I just can't. It was just an incredible moment, and we all lost our shit in the East Stand. We did. And I'm sure it was the same for everyone else in the stadium. It was an incredible moment and a really good goal as well, by the way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, really good goal. And, you know, I think the way that Bailassa gives himself a little bit of space, that first time ball right over the top and to hit it so perfectly is incredible. And I would say Ballas has been amazing the last couple of games, but I'll come to praise and place a little bit later on. But for me, it reminded me of the European nights a lot, when, you know, those European nights sometimes when you're playing like the Lazio and you're winning 2-0. I remember when Zenden scored and that was just like electric, you know, the Steaua Basel games. All of those games were amazing, you know, and when you go back to maybe 2003, 2004, when It looked like Stuart Parnaby scored, but it wasn't. It was a Reyes on goal. But it was those moments are really special, I think, sometimes in football, and you don't get a lot of them. So you've got to enjoy them when they're there. And it was just kind of, it just felt for me that, like, when that goal happened, it was like, wow, this could be a really, really good night for us. And we were, I would say, you know, when the more and more Chelsea played, it kind of grew in confidence ever so slightly, even though I was like dying at my seat. I think Matt was looking at me saying, Johnny's just passed, is it? Passed it. But Tommy, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, and I saw you then around Chelsea not playing with a recognised striker. And, you know, they've still got quality, you know, Nonny Madueke, Sterling, and Cole Palmer, all England internationals. To some extent, Nonny's obviously under 21s, and Sterling, Cole Palmer have both played for the senior team as well. But they didn't play with that recognised striker, and I appreciate they've got the injuries. So do you think when the ball fell to Cole Palmer, although he's been called Cold Palmer against Luton, do you think Borough will let off the hook a little bit, Tom, with the amount of chances that he missed yesterday?
I think for a couple, yeah. That one, the Housen tried to pass across to, I think he was going for Barlasa, and just essentially played him through. I was fully expecting the net to ripple. I wasn't in my usual seat yesterday because we had to kind of do some rejigging in our row. And someone had kind of stood up just as that happened. So, like, I didn't see where the ball had travelled. I was fully expecting to see it hit the back of the net. And when it hit the ad board, I was like, how has he missed that? A similar thought process for when he managed to scoop it over from 4 yards out. But I think what I was thinking, again, thinking it quietly to myself, trying not to jinx it, was like, this looks written. The amount of things that are going wrong for Chelsea tonight, I was like, this should only go one way now, and it should be like we hold on to this lead and take a win away. But yeah, just it, like I say, it seemed written. So many things were going wrong for them. They were having shots which were going into Rose's head, Cole Palmer missing sitters, players not really playing as you know, we would probably expect them to, you know, being Premier League players. And I think that's something a lot of their fans are thinking as well, judging from the videos I was watching earlier. They were saying that they look like 11 people who don't like each other have been put on a pitch together and, you know, asked to play together. So I think we got off the hook for those couple of chances. But like I said earlier, it was a really solid display from us, and I don't really think we allowed them much else. And they never looked likely to create much else either. Mm.
Dana, what's your thoughts?
Well, just a point aside from the missed chance for a quick second, what Tom mentioned there. I think, obviously, the Chelsea team, billions have been spent on it. I don't know the exact amount or estimated value of the team yesterday, but, you know, billions have been spent on Chelsea Football Club this season. But they did not have that team cohesion yesterday. They really didn't. They had a team of individuals, and Borough had that really thought out game plan and a team game plan that really worked. So I think that really guided Borough through that game. But yeah, in regards to the missed chances, that first one when Housen played that really poor ball, it reminded me a lot of, do you remember in the Euros where Raheem Sterling played the ball and Thomas Muller was through on goal and he missed it? It reminded me a lot of that in a way. And it's funny because Raheem Sterling was on the pitch yesterday, albeit not involved in that. But it's just that split second of dread when Housen loses the ball and you see that an opposition player is through on goal and you genuinely fear the worst. If anybody thought in that moment that Cole Palmer was going to miss that, you're lying. You are lying to yourself. Mm. You thought that was going in. We all thought it was going in. And so the fact that he dragged that wide, the lady behind me tapped me on the shoulder and went, this is our game, this. And I thought, don't jinx it, please don't say that. But she kept repeating it. And it's funny, actually, when Tom kind of mentioned it there, that it kind of felt like maybe it was written that Borough were going to go on and win this game because of the fortune that favoured us. Obviously, the woman behind me was feeling that as well. And yeah, maybe there was a degree of that. I think Borough had to ride their luck. I mean, games against Man United in the Cup when we knocked them out on penalties under Chris Wilder. Cristiano Ronaldo missed a penalty. Bruno Fernandes hit the bar against Tottenham. Son had a really good chance, a header. Harry Kane had a goal disallowed. I think Crooks inadvertently deflected a corner goal bound. Joe Lumley, for once in his career, had good reflexes and managed to put it out for a corner. So, like, you have to ride your luck in these cup games because there's such a gulf in quality. You have to hope that fortune's on your side, and it definitely was yesterday, because I don't know how Cole Palmer did not score. And then to see him walk off at the end like a spoilt child was weird. I think if you're a Chelsea fan, you're fuming at that, because that is not a quick journey up to Teesside. And Cole Palmer, literally as soon as the full-time whistle went, he was down the tunnel. And I just thought that was really disrespectful to the Chelsea fans, but oh well.
Just to kind of add on to that as well about like fortune favouring us and stuff yesterday, I thought a really interesting parallel that I remember quite vividly from 2004 in the final, that shot Cole Palmer had where Glover saved it but like tipped it up onto one of the defenders. Can't remember who it was.
I think it was Howson.
It came back to him and like just dropped straight back in his arms. Reminded me so much of Schwarzer in that League Cup final, where it kind of bounces back off the post, and like he manages to make a double save off it as well. I think it was when it bounced back off the post. I might be thinking of a different save, but there's definitely a double save that he made.
Yeah,
and one of the Bolton players just hit it straight at him, and you just think then like this is written for us today, and interesting that it happened to another big Aussie goalkeeper.
Yeah, like honestly, the parallels, you know, this is insane. But I think for me as well, yesterday, I just think I didn't think the Chelsea players wanted to be there at one point. For most of it, it felt like that.
It's the coldest place on earth. You can't blame them.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got to grow up, haven't you? A little bit. I was excited though to see some of the players yesterday, I must admit. But for me, I think there was a bit of arrogance about Chelsea yesterday in terms of doing the same thing over and over again and not changing it. You know, playing inverted wingers and no recognised striker against a side who is purposely trying to dominate the midfield and have loads of bodies in the centre. You are literally just running yourself into more people, trying to stretch a game out, and you're your own downfall. I think yesterday the goal for me was amazing. It came at the right time. I just wish we had that second chance. I'm just thinking of that Corbyn chance where Thiago Silva slips and he runs through, and I'm like, oh my god, we're in. Josh, go on, Josh, you're going to go score. And then he slips. Oh, and then it's only like little things where I'm just like, oh my god, Josh, like why?
Imagine if that was Latte Laugh on that. That's why I thought when Latte Laugh went off, I was like, oh, because it's two completely different profiles of strikers there, isn't it? And you could tell exactly why Latte Laugh started the game to stretch Thiago Silva. Like, let's be honest, he's a fantastic defender. Like, if you want to learn how to defend, watch Thiago Silva. Like, he's incredible. But up against Latte Laugh, I think he would have had a far tougher evening. I think Latte Laugh probably would have made a better fist of it. So, yeah, when that opened up, or after it had opened up, I thought, just imagine if Latte Laugh was on the end of that.
And it was, I think you would put your house on him scoring as well if he went all the way through, I think. I don't know why. It's just a very Latte Laugh chance. And, you know, obviously Boris shape had to change, or the way of playing had to change when Josh came on. But what I would say is the last couple of games, the way that we've been able to, well, it's not really a new thing, but to play across four different shapes, be really disciplined, keep really narrow, limit these teams to chances. I mean, Aston Villa only created chances through set pieces. Chelsea were from our own mistakes. And I think a lot goes into how well we were so structured in those games. But then this is like a new... So where's this defensive Middlesbrough being all season? I know we've been really unlucky in some games where we've conceded some absolute worldies and some really unlucky ones. But where's this defensive unit been? Why hasn't it all clicked already? You know what I mean? I know it's a bit more defensive. The shape's changed a little bit slightly, but where's it been?
Well, I mean, we haven't been playing with this system, this formation in the league. And I think you've got to acknowledge that the past two games have been against Premier League teams. So we do have to be a little bit more conservative in our approach. But still, when we can, try to get at them, get in their faces. And try to be incisive as much as we can be on the attack. I mean, they showed a graphic on Sky before the game where we were averaging 1.8 goals per game last season, and now it's only one per game. So, like, obviously, we've taken a dip in terms of our threat up front, but defensively, we are underperforming our expected goals against. And I mean, people will tut at that and raise their eyebrows and say XG's a load of rubbish and whatever. Hopefully people know by now that we do like our XG on this podcast. It just peels back another layer of a football match. But even taking XG out of the equation, if you look at the goals that we've conceded this season, for a lot of them, you think, God, we shouldn't be conceding that. Like, there are so many examples, because Matt Rowney obviously has the compilation of it, where like the Wesley Hoot one, where he literally volleys it straight in from a corner top bins, Andre Dozel pinging one in, arrowing it into the top corner. Like, you don't need XG to think that just shouldn't be going in, but XG gives you the data behind it that it's unlikely to go in. So our defence isn't terrible. That's the thing. Like, you look at the amount of goals we've conceded and you create this narrative that it is, but it isn't. It's been different in recent games because we've switched the system. We've had to. We're playing superior opposition to us in every department in Villa and Chelsea. I know Chelsea are waning a little bit, shall we say, in the Premier League. They always seem to be going through a bit of a rebuild, to be honest, but they're still a superior team to us. They took off Enzo Fernandez yesterday, a £100 million signing for one of them was...
£100 million signing in Mudrick.
Yeah, Mudrick came on and he was like, wait, was he 80? I mean, they've spent far too much on these players, let's be honest. But, you know, they're paying for potential, I guess. But yeah, we've had to change it because of that. And do I want to see this continue in the league? Probably not, because I think it takes away our attacking threat, which is already lesser than last season, but still relatively okay. So yeah, we've just had to adapt. And that's why this defensive unit, we're seeing it, because we've adapted depending on our opposition. And to be fair to Carrick, it's worked. But to say that our defence has been really awful this season, I think would be it just wouldn't be the narrative, to be honest. We've underperformed, yes, but we have been massively unlucky and you can't get away from that.
I agree. And then I just want to go off one final point on the game yesterday. It was actually pre-match. But Tom, we went to a certain place yesterday. It wasn't Shouse Island, you know, for our listeners and viewers. It wasn't Shouse Island, because you would have had a lovely tan before kickoff. But we went to the... It's
been realistic, so...
You do, but really badly, don't you? But we went to a special place, you know, mine and Dana's pre-match chip ban. You got the works, and I just wanted to know how you felt about it, to be honest, because... Were you happy with it? You know, £6, you got the meat chips.
Johnny, I'm never going anywhere else for food before the match. Like, all that for £6 was absolutely immense. I mean, to explain it to the listeners, it was chips, pork, gravy and stuffing. Like, what more could you ask for before a game? So, yeah, I mean, they've got another regular customer now. Thankfully, it's next to the car park where I park. So, you know, it's a very short walk from the car to there, and I will be attending every match day, so I might see you there.
I can't believe that you've missed out on it this whole time when you literally park right next door. That is insane, Tom.
I know.
Shame on you.
I should have dragged it on a little bit more, because I know you're waiting to go for your tea in a minute, Johnny, but yeah, just excellent food.
Footy scan.
Well, keep the praise coming, because it's now time for the praise and bliss. Ah, yes, the praise and place. The only place where to give praise to a player, coach, or staff member. Dana's Borough scarf and the 2003-2004 shirt, which ironically won the last cup. And Tom, I'm just going to say to you, because congratulations for your personal achievement today as well, which I can't really share with the listeners, but I'm just going to say it's a personal achievement and let the listeners decide what it is. So, praise and place time. I'll keep with you, Tom. Who's in your praise and place this week?
Pretty much everyone, to be fair. All of the team put in an absolute shift. I can't really single out anyone for praise, because I think they've all done an absolutely immense job last night. Coaching staff for getting the strategy and the tactics absolutely spot on and managing that game correctly. And then everyone who turned up at the stadium and made it that sort of atmosphere that was so encouraging for the Borough players, but also probably made it incredibly intimidating for Chelsea as well.
Dana, who's in your place?
Yeah, I want to mention Dan Barlasser because there was a moment in particular in the, I want to get this right, first half where we had just played ourselves into danger because Lucas Engel played a misguided pass to, I think it was maybe Matt Clark and, no, Dil Fry, and Conor Gallagher got on the end of it and it went out for a goal kick in the end. And from that very goal kick, Dan Barlasser takes the ball from Tom Glover on the penalty spot pretty much, sells Conor Gallagher a dummy, absolutely dusts him, fakes a pass and just switches it beyond him. And then he plays a line-splitting ball straight over to Josh Coburn along the floor. He drives it at him and it takes out the whole of the Chelsea forward line, midfield. And unfortunately, Coburn ends up, his passing field is, as it was pretty much all game, a little bit wayward. But that, the audacity, the confidence from Dan Barlasser to play out from the back in that way after we just nearly fucked ourselves over is insane. And the pass itself was, I think, the epitome of his ability, his passing ability and his passing range. And he's really impressed me in the last two games against Premier League opposition. But I will say that his performances, his good performances have predated that as well. He's been quietly good for a while, Dan Barlasser, but he's now starting to make his performances, his good performances a bit louder. So I have really enjoyed him. And credit to his ball playing ability as well, because he's not just a passer, and we've seen that in the last two games. He's shifted the ball beyond people and he's dribbled it out of trouble really well at times. So I want to praise him. Again, the whole team. We'll say Dil Fry, because Dil Fry doesn't seem to get a lot of praise nowadays, but I thought that he was excellent. When he was called upon defensively, he stood tall, he headed the ball out, he was tackling really, really strongly, and I think he guarded that Borough goal really well and really helped Tom Glover out in just defending, basically, and it was a brilliant display from him defensively. And then the fans as well, 12th man, urging people to get the scarves out, which was just a really beautiful sight that I really want to see normalised in Borough games. Hopefully see them against Millwall in the away end. And, you know, Red Faction as well. Them two fan groups orchestrating that and everyone in the stadium contributing to it. It was a really, really, really good atmosphere, the one that gives you goosebumps. And, thinking back to when I said that I've become a massive softie, when Red Faction came out with that banner at the bottom of the south stand, which said, "Bring it home again," I was like, oh God, lump in my throat here. I was like nearly crying. But yeah, it was an unbelievable atmosphere that I kind of, it just made you emotional because it was just a night of pride that, you know, that really filtered into.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, I'm going to go for my boy Lucas Engel. I thought he was majestic last night and he keeps getting better and better and better and better, and it's mint. And I give him 5 stars and he's slowly getting there, and I'm really happy for him for that as well. I thought Dan Barlasser was brilliant last night. Matt Clark was excellent. I think the whole team was definitely excellent. But Dan Barlasser is an interesting one because there is some players who do better against like in a higher league. So for Barlasser, he'll probably get more time against a Premier League team than he would against a side in the Championship, and that is kind of what he wants. And I think that's where you get like the real benefits from him, when he has that moment of times to pick the right pass or get the ball over the top. And it's just really interesting for him. And obviously Hayden Hackney was superb last night. And, you know, I think overall everyone deserves a lot of praise. And can we do it again? Who knows? But guys, I'm going to leave it there for now. We do have some more content coming out this week. Obviously the Luke Ayling signing as well is now being confirmed. So a lowdown is imminent. And also we've got Millwall as well coming up at the weekend too. But for right now, I'm going to leave you with something to ponder. Middlesbrough have had their worst start to the season and they use a cup run to ignite it. They found themselves somehow in a major cup semi-final against a team from London. You know, they won the first leg 1-0, courtesy of a Teesider, well, in this case, an adopted one, and there was an Australian in goal as well. Am I talking about this season? Am I talking about 2003-2004? I think I'm talking about both. This has been the Borough Breakdown Podcast, and that was all your Borough Match Day chatter in a pod. It can't happen again, can it?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.